the pastor said I had 20 to 35 minutes. So if I'm really nervous, it'll be 5 minutes. And if I go how I timed it, it'll be 22. Or if I ramble, it'll be 35. So I don't think you'll have to be here for 35 minutes. If you would turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 6, that's where mainly I'm going to be speaking from this morning. And it's not going to be on the screen. So if you have a Bible, there's some Bibles in the under the chair in front of you. And Judges is in the Old Testament. So you may have, if you have to look in the index, it's okay. Out on the high seas, two ships collided and sank. A mother was saved, but her four daughters were lost. Horatio Spafford, author of the old song, "It Is Well With My Soul," lived in Chicago, Illinois. In 1871, he had several things happen in his life. He had in his lakefront property was all destroyed in the Chicago fire of 1871. And then 1873, he planned a family vacation to Europe. So he sent his wife and four daughters ahead. The two ships collided in the Atlantic, and all were lost except Mrs. Stafford. So Stafford took the next ship to England and is going to meet his wife there. And he says he passed the place where his daughters died. He wrote this song: "It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever the lot, what thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." Spafford mentioned the word peace and repeated the phrase, "It is well with my soul." These are not descriptive terms of our present day. With school shootings, bombing in public, like the Boston Marathon bombing, like shooting of our local police officers, couples who are married by the Secretary of Defense rather than a pastor. Worst of all, turmoil in one's heart. Our world is really in a place of turmoil, and I guess we might really describe it as drama. If you ever listen to Judge Judy or Dr. Phil on the television, life is really a drama with so many people. And the search for peace and tranquility spans all ages and cultures. And our study, this is not a sermon, I don't do that. The study today is the third in a series on the names of God. And today we want to talk about Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. The book of Judges is the only place in the Bible that mentions Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. And that is in Judges chapter 6. There's two things we want to learn from this portion of Scripture. What is peace and how do I experience it? Kind of give you a little historical background of this story. The people of Israel found themselves oppressed by the Midianites. They lived for 7 years in fear. They were like swarms of locusts coming into the country. And they always came in to Israel at harvest time. They were eastern nomadic tribes, and they just planned at harvest because they didn't raise crops. They didn't raise animals. So Israel had them all ready for them. So the people lived in fear for 7 years. They had to take to the hills and live in caves. And we find our story here today, a young man by the name of Gideon. And he is threshing wheat in a wine press. Now, usually they thresh wheat in Israel in a flat area, oftentimes on like high ridges. So when the wind from the Mediterranean would come in, it would help winnow the wheat and get rid of all the chaff and stuff. But Gideon was doing it on a wine press, which is kind of a hidden area, so it was out of sight of the Midianites, so they wouldn't steal the grain. And we find him having a dialogue with the angel of the Lord. And here's something we see about Israel. They were continually having problems, and number one was they took their eyes off of God, and they turned to worship the idols of the Canaanites. Number two, they are punished after they turn their eyes off of God, and this has gone on for 7 years with the Midianites always coming in at harvest time. Then they repent and cry out to God, as we see in Judges chapter 6. God responds with deliverance. Kind of sounds like a little bit like people today. We take our eyes off of God because of sin. We're punished. People repent, and God will forgive them. But it's kind of like a cycle with these children of Israel, and oftentimes it's a cycle in our lives. Disobedience disrupts peace. Obedience brings peace. And there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 57 that says, "The wicked are like the tossing sea. There is no peace." I lived in the Lower Columbia for 30 years. And the Columbia is about a mile wide out near the ocean. And when these guys know what it's like, when the wind blows on the Columbia, and if you're in a sailboat, it is really scary. There's waves on the Columbia. There's certainly no peace. But yet, when the wind isn't blowing and you're on a sailboat, it's just as smooth as glass. So this is kind of like what we're trying to relate to here. Do you at oftentimes feel that you're tossed about like the waves of the ocean? Do you feel like your life is sometimes just continually turmoil? You might ask yourself this question: have I taken my eyes off the Lord, and I find that I do not have peace? I think we can all can relate to that when things are sometimes are going rough in our lives. Partly it's because we take our eyes off of the Lord. This is where the Israelites found themselves, that they had taken their eyes off of God. They were disobedient. And in Judges 6, verse 10, it says, "You have not listened to me." We find the Gideon and the angel of the Lord having this dialogue in the wine press. And I would like to read to you, and you can follow along in your Bible, Judges 6, 12 through 16. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. He said, 'Lord, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did you not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hands of the Midianites." You ever feel like you've been abandoned by the Lord sometimes? "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength that you have and ask and save Israel out of the Midianite hands.' He said, 'I am sending you.' And Gideon said, 'But Lord,' he said, 'how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family.' The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together.'" We see here that the angel of the Lord addresses Gideon as to a mighty warrior. I think that this might indicate that Gideon had proved himself already as a mighty warrior. Probably call him a citizen soldier. A few years ago, my friends John and Marilyn and I visited Israel, and I noticed one in the evenings when the people were going home from work, the city buses were dropping off people, and a lot of the young men and women were in uniform, military uniform, with a rifle over their back, and they were ready to defend their country no matter what. I guess we'd call them citizen soldiers, and that's kind of what Gideon was. And I think when the angel said to Gideon, he noticed that Gideon was a man who had some talent, and that's why he called him mighty warrior. And you ever have someone believe in you, and maybe a teacher or a friend or a parent that maybe said, "Hey, you have some really skills that God could use." And I think makes us feel like we'd like to rise up to a little higher level. And I think that's probably how Gideon maybe felt at this time. Now, there's two questions that Gideon had for the Lord, though. He said, verse 13, he said, "Why has all this happened to us?" He didn't beat around the bush. He just was very frank with God. But God didn't answer his question. Have you asked God why? Sometimes I have, but he didn't answer the question. I think it didn't require an answer. And then the Lord said, "But I am..." Wait a minute here. I lost my place here. He said, "Go, I am sending you." This was Gideon's commission to deliver his people from the Midianites. And then we go on to find out in verse 16, Gideon, he told, God answered Gideon and said, I will be with you. Together we'll strike down the Midianites. So when God and we are together, we can face issues in our life. God often calls the ordinary man and the ordinary woman to do extraordinary things. Do you know why he does that? Because the ordinary man and the ordinary woman can't do it alone. And that's what was happening with Gideon here. Gideon's second question to the Lord was, if you're really who you say you are, give me a sign. Gideon wanted to be sure that it was God speaking to him. He is seeking assurance from God and was waiting for God to lead him. So Gideon said, okay, I'm going to prepare an offering to you, and I want you to wait for me. And the Lord said, okay, I'll wait. And you should read this book of chapter 6 of Judges. You'll be really blessed to see all these things that happened. I'm not going to go into all the details. But God accepted Gideon's offering, and it was a sign of God's leadership in Gideon's life. I really like Gideon's response. He says, I have seen the Lord face to face. Each day when we spend time in God's word, we can see the Lord face to face. And then Gideon here built an altar to the Lord. And I'd like to read verses 23 and 24. And the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord, and they called And there he called it the Lord of Peace. To this day it stands. The word in Hebrew, the Lord of Jehovah Shalom, means peace in Hebrew, and it's really a deep desire of the human heart. It means wholeness, completeness, or well-being. It is contentment and satisfaction in life. It comes from living in harmony with God, which results in harmony with others. In Israel, that's a common term to say shalom when you meet somebody or when you're leaving someone. And it is a common term of greeting, and it doesn't mean hello or have a good day like we would use that term here. Shalom expresses the hope that the person may be well, fulfilled, satisfied, and healthy, in harmony with themselves and God. And this word shalom is only found in Gideon's chapter 6, 24. Often in the Bible, God reveals a new name for himself when a person was in a time of crisis. And I would say that Gideon and the Israel people were in time of crisis. He needed at this time to know that God was peace. He may have been afraid of the enemy that he was facing. He said that the enemy were like herds of locusts coming into the country. He may have doubted his leadership ability. But here we find that God had made three promises to Gideon. He said, the Lord is with you. I will send you. Together we will strike down the Midianites. Doesn't sound like to me he could go wrong with that assurance from the Lord. I want to just talk about three facts, or three sources of peace. Where does it come from, and how do I experience it? In Isaiah 26:3, the verse says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." Our peace can come from the Lord. We experience peace because we trust in him. In John 16:33. Jesus says, in me you have peace. In the world you will have trouble. I've overcome the world. We as believers can't always control the world. The loss of jobs, the loss of help, even getting old like some of us are. But remember that Jesus says, in me you have peace. I've struggled. I've been here, 8 years now, and I was 72 when I came here. And I thought, oh, Bill, you're really getting old. Because I was telling my brother the other day, when I mow my lawn, I mow it for 5 minutes, and I sit down and read an hour. I can get a lot of reading done each day. It takes me a long time to get my lawn mowed. But I really do have the Lord's peace. I'm just being silly here. And peace is a gift. As in John 14:27, my peace I give you, I do not give you as the world gives. Jesus is speaking of the salvation that we receive through Christ. When we receive Christ into our heart, he gives us that peace. And the peace is different than the world gives. Remember, the Hebrew greeting for peace is expressing the longing of for people to have good health and peace. But Jesus gives us a promise that it's not just a wish here. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. What will this peace guard your hearts from? It? The first part says, don't be anxious about anything. So the peace of God will guard us from being anxious. And I know none of you guys and gals have that problem. Just Bill Church does sometimes, especially when I was speaking this morning. Okay, we note that anxiety and prayer are two opposite forces in the Christian walk. Do I allow circumstances to affect my peace with my family, with the Lord? Do I come to the Lord in prayer when I'm anxious? The promise is we have peace of God, which is based on our peace with God, resulting in an inner peace in our heart. When I am at peace with God, I'm at peace with my family. So the question, where does peace come from? It's a gift from God, and we receive it through Jesus Christ. The next question I want to talk about here is, how do I experience peace? In Hebrews 12, it talks about, make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. So there's two things here. We want to live in peace and we want to be holy. So how do we do that? It sounds like a plan that requires some action on our part. In Psalms 119:11 says, he has the key to a less living in peace. It says, I hide God's word in my heart that I might sin against you. How do we hide his word in our heart? Do you spend time each day in God's word? Or do you go all week and just go to church Sunday morning and we hear God's word and we sing songs and then we go all week and do it again next week? If you only eat one meal a week, you get pretty hungry. So spiritually, is that the way we treat our relationship with God? This peace is a promise from the Lord. If we are applying God's word to our life, it will keep us from sinning. Sounds like a good idea. Talking about peace, my friend Chuck and I are Gideons, and last year we were giving out New Testaments at a middle school here in the valley, and I gave a testament to a young boy, and about 30 seconds later, the father came up to me, and he just stuck it in my face, and he said, don't you ever do that to my kid again. And I just smiled and took the testament back. And Chuck said, why didn't you tell him what we're doing? I said, no, we don't discuss with an angry man. And no, he didn't poke me in the nose. But we did pray before we did this that God would give us wisdom and peace and guidance. So I just thanked the Lord at that time. I didn't respond sarcastically to the guy. But, you know, maybe that man might come to know the Lord just from that experience. Also, this experience in peace, it talks about peace, and then it talks about all men are to be holy. Now, how can I be holy? I like the song. This is an old-fashioned song, by the way, as you noticed this morning. The song says, let's fix our eyes upon Jesus. I like the chorus. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in his light of his glory and grace. Wisdom from God is a kind of a good place to experience peace. In James 13, it says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and then peace-loving. How do I get wisdom from God? proverb has a good answer. For the Lord gives wisdom. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. So since the Lord is the one who gives wisdom, and we are the ones who should be asking for it, we have a responsibility, it sounds like to me. When we come before the Lord, it's okay to ask the Lord for wisdom. In the books of Proverbs, Solomon prayed that God would give him wisdom, and God did give him wisdom. In James 4:6, it says, has another good answer. It says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. We can experience peace by each day being in God's holy word. Our eyes become focused on Christ. We become men and women who are living a holy life. I'd like to just share a little story about myself. I lived for 30 years on the Lower Columbia. I was a high school ag teacher. And my son one day, lives who, and his family live in Spokane. They said, Dad, you need to move to Spokane to be a resident grandpa. Whew, this was kind of tough. I lived in the woods. I had a tractor and a chainsaw, and I raised sheep, and I cut wood for my firewood that I burnt every winter in my stove, and I had my little church, and my pastor and his wife lived there, and my church family, and I thought, I can't do that. One day, for 10 years, three of my teacher's friends, we met for prayer once a week, and we also had a time to have breakfast together. So one day, I talked to them about it, and I said, I can't do that. So one day, one of my friends gave me this little verse. He said, when I hear the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for me? He put in, and Bill said, here am I, send me. That's from Isaiah 6:8. You know, sometimes we're looking for God's direction, God's wisdom. Sometimes we can have godly friends that can be an influence on us. That's why I moved here. I have three little granddaughters. I was 68 before I became a grandpa, and I have one granddaughter that's 12, so it shows you how ancient I am. But I'm glad that the Lord gave me that peace from his word and also from my friends to encourage me to do this. Do I want peace? Only one person can give it, Jehovah Shalom, but he gives it only on his terms. Horatio Spafford found God's peace when he wrote the song, "Is Well With My Soul." Gideon found peace when he saw the Lord face to face. You can find peace by fixing your eyes upon Jesus, by spending your time in God's word each day. When the conductor of an orchestra walks on the stage, the sound coming from the instruments are in discord. Have you ever been to a concert? It sounds awful when they're warming up before the conductor comes in. But when he arrives, the chaos is still. He raises his baton, and the musician's submission to his direction results in beautiful harmony. In Thessalonians, the final verse, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace as always and in every way. Shalom. Jesus, the Lord is peace. I'd like you to just bow your head in prayer, and I'm going to read it. This is a written prayer, but it really has some wonderful things as we can pray. And if you could just quietly pray in your hearts, I read this, I think you'll really be blessed. So if you just bow your hearts, and I'll go through this short prayer. Jehovah Shalom, you speak to the wind and the waves. You calm them with just one word. You still the storm with me when I call on your name. You bring peace to my heart and my soul when I abide in your presence. In you is the fullness of peace and truth. Regardless of our prestige, background, education, or status, you choose to raise up us up and bring us to peace in your name. Just as you delivered Israel through Gideon, you can bring peace to those around me. Through me, when I commit my life to you in all I do, I praise you, for you are the author and finisher of my peace. Jehovah Shalom, worry plagues us as a nation. We spend billions of dollars on prescription drugs to help calm our anxiety. Peace is a luxury that large homes and high salaries don't seem to provide. Peace escapes many of us. I admit it escapes me more often than it should. With faith comes peace. With trust comes peace. with rest comes peace. Forgive me for lacking all these, and give me grace of your peace. Jehovah Shalom, my heart is filled to overflowing with gratitude for the wonderful peace you offer to me. Fear and anxiety have so many causes today, and many of them are legitimate. Trials, dangers, health issues, loss. These things seek to steal my peace. But thank you for being ready and willing to offer the gift of peace to me. Thank you for making your peace available to me. If I but ask and believe, thank you for giving me my only true peace. Jehovah Shalom, I speak shalom in my body, into my cells. I speak shalom into my health, calmness that should be, which is irritated or aggressive somehow. I speak shalom into my mind, my thoughts, and my heart. I call on your name, Jehovah Shalom, to be present in all this and more. Shalom is my plan, in my plans, in my future, in my relationships. Show yourself to me and reveal to me the choice I need to make to enter into an ever greater level of peace with you. Amen.